I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota.
Good evening, Vashon Island. I am Megan Hastings, and this is the Cats and Jammer Follies, a travel story show. And today we have with us the elusive, most beautiful Bonnie Schneider Clark. Am I pronouncing that correctly, the Schneider part?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
She's the queen bee of Vashon Live, which for those of you who don't know who it is, you're definitely missing out. At the very beginning of the lockdown, back in March, Bonnie and her people, primarily her husband Simon Clark, began a company of live streaming out of Snapdragon Black Hat Cabaret space. Everything from music to storytelling and in between, and also a series called Behind the Names, which is a powerful segment about the stories behind the people who were killed by police brutality, which sparked the Black Lives Matter movement. Then you guys took it to your place outside, and now it's at the O Space. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Vashon Life? Tell us how that's progressing, how you feel about it. You guys have had so many beautiful bands come through.
Vashon Life has been, I think, a key to many individuals' sanity. And probably, I've heard from others and also myself of just keeping the creative juices flowing, because otherwise, I haven't had that much. And we had the live streaming capabilities already set in place. And just when everything took a turn, it was like, well, we can do this for performers here.
Mm-hmm.
And we can, especially if it was focused with Vashon in mind of, we're used to seeing all of these familiar faces when you walk around town and when you go to the grocery store.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were doing lots of stuff before the lockdown. I mean, you'd record many shows already at Black Cat Cabaret.
So you're used to seeing whoever, and now you can see them at least, on a live stream with their music. And in fact, you can go back and watch them over and over again, like Megan's show.
It's true. I did a cooking show.
She was a little modest
them.
There. She left that out. But, and her marinara.
We did it from the spring through summer. And then we just got busy. Yeah, many things. We did many things. In fact, we're supposed to have it play on Voice of Vashon. On Voice of Vashon at some point.
We have at least one up. But, I know they're being transferred, shall we say.
Being shared. Yeah, it was a fun time.
And there was a whirlwind there for a bit of, we tried to do 4 shows a week.
That's a lot on anybody.
Yeah, and that just almost broke me. Like,
plus, you have a full-time job.
I still do have a full-time job. Yeah. And it's in person. It's not from home.
so you physically have to be there and be on and all these great things.
So.
Well, with all that and the Vashon Live and all these beautiful projects that these guys do, Bonnie is also an avid traveler. And she lived for a couple years in China primarily.
Yeah.
Was it the whole time in China?
The whole time in China.
All right. Well, she's going to tell us one of her travel tales. Take it away, Bonnie.
Well, I lived in northeastern China, so if anyone's thinking that it was any of the culture and food that's kind of transferred over to America, not quite. It's much more rich, cold, like the Pacific Northwest in winter and hot in the summer. And I lived in China for 2 years teaching college English. And at one point, I had a week break, and 2 friends came over, and, one of the friends, Inga, had emailed me a list of sites and attractions, and I took it literally. And we saw almost everything on that list. That was apparently not the intention, but it was the most jam-packed 10 days of probably my entire life. We started out in Beijing. You know, they landed there. We started there. We went to the Great Wall of China, which is almost like you're in Beijing. You have to go to the Great Wall.
How far is the Great Wall to Beijing?
Well, it depends what section you go.
Sure, of course, that makes sense.
I mean, and there's sections that are so crumbled that you can't. But we went to Sumatai, where I had been once before, and we climbed around 30 towers, and then at the end of that point, when you get to Sumatai itself, then there's a zip line option for coming off the wall, which I love flight. I'm like zip line, yes. And so yeah, that was kind of the cherry on top, because just climbing the wall is amazing.
So how long are you on the zip line then, and where does it go to?
Just a few minutes. And you go straight across a reservoir, and you land like just outside of a parking lot. And there's a the sign for the zip line. I don't even remember, but I know I took a photo of it because it was humorous, not quite English. And it was like, yeah, I'm going to trust the safety. Just don't think about it.
Yeah, right. There's that.
So, yeah. And then, so we started and ended in Beijing. And then the rest of the time was in the Shandong province, which most people, you know, China's huge. Where's that? But you might know it if you drink Qingdao beer, because Qingdao is...
Who hasn't had Qingdao?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's good, easy summer
beer.
Correct
me if I'm wrong, but is Qingdao beer, is the reason that it's there is because in the area, name the area again?
Shandong province?
Yeah. Or? Was there a German community that settled there?
So Qingdao itself was leased to Germany.
Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, it was a 99-year lease, and that is how the German influence came to be there, and the German beer. And now they have an international beer festival every year throughout the summer. And one of the weird fun things I learned in the trip we took to Qingdao was that my student who lived there, and we were visiting her family, her summer job was working at this beer amusement park. And in China, there's no drinking age. But there's a culture of you don't want to lose face and you want to do right by your family. So, you know, if you were to get drunk as a child, that doesn't look good to the family, especially if it were in public. So,
right.
You know, it's just kind of a given that you're not going
that you're going to respect that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's no law, or at least there wasn't at that time, I should say. Yeah. So that was a little odd. And
how
old
were you when you were there?
Now you're going to date me.
Oh, well, I didn't mean it like that.
I was 31.
That's a perfect age for that kind of a trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so. I know that you know this, but you and Adam have gone down, Adam, my husband, you guys have gone down this path of conversation before, but he also used to teach in China.
Yeah. And he was in inner China in Chengdu, I believe.
He was in Chengdu, yeah.
And yeah, I was over on the East Coast on the Yellow Sea. So almost across from Seoul. Like if you think of just a map but right on the sea. So that was, for me, being near the water was such a good
choice.
Was
it clean water? Was it good? Like you could, no.
No. Mm-hmm.
Bonnie's face is like, no. So you did not go swimming in it.
I never swam in the water. No. I mean, my feet went in the water, but no, thank you. I never went on a ferry boat in China either. I traveled by all other means. But the fairies were not very safe, in my opinion. And so I was like,
it's not like King County.
Not at all. Not at all.
Where were some of the other places you guys went on this trip?
We went to Mount Taishan, which that was the most amazing thing. It's one of the five sacred, is that right? Well, yeah, one of the five sacred Taoist mountains in China.
Wow.
And we climbed it by under full moonlight.
That would be
we did not
so
plan
incredible.
That, oh my gosh, that was incredible because you didn't need a light.
How long is the hike up? Who knows? How many Chengdus did you have? How many Qingdaos did you have?
I had so many Qingdaos that I thought I was in Chengdu.
Which is quite far away.
It's a long climb. And it's short steps. I mean, in China, I mean, with the Great Wall being kind of an exception of, you know, most of the time they're short steps. So because I think this is my theory, is that they want it to be accessible for people. Even a lot of them shuffle, you know, and so the steps are not high generally. But yeah, it was a lot of hours. We started out, I don't know, like 9, 10 o'clock at no, 9 o'clock at night. I mean, we got up to the top and we slept a couple hours on just this hostel, hard bed, woke up and went out there and, you know, everyone that goes is kind of praying that the fog doesn't roll in or doesn't stay in so they can see the sunrise. And there we were. I mean, the photo I have is like every single rock surface had people covering the rocks at the top of the mountain. And we're all waiting for the sun to rise. And it's just this amazing, powerful force. And we got the full show. We went from
what
full
luck
moon.
That you have for that.
Yeah. Some of my students were a little bit jealous because they had climbed before and not seen it, including the one I went to visit in Chengdu. I'm going to be saying Chengdu now.
Yeah, you will.
In Qingdao. Yeah, she and her family had climbed it a couple of times and she had never seen the sunrise. And that's part of like, not everyone goes up for that and the timing wise, but many do.
So China is a very special place to you.
Oh, yeah.
For all of these.
Yeah.
Sounds like you had a really beautiful time there.
I loved it there.
And did you teach the whole time you were there?
I taught the whole time I was there.
Did you learn Chinese when you were there? Or attempted?
Edian. Which even that's probably wrong because I don't know the tones anymore. Yeah, I did not do a good job in actually learning any Chinese before going. I was practicing on the plane.
Well, there is the culture of like
crash course. That, I mean, no, that did not work.
Well, there is the culture of like when so many Americans or should I say English speaking people sort of arrive in a place that's so culturally different, they all congregate together.
Yeah. But they were outnumbered
easy.
There by far.
Oh, well, no. But I mean, it's sort of like you can, when you're off work, go hang out with your friends that speak English.
I knew one expat who was American, still friends with him, who did not learn any Chinese.
Wow.
But yeah.
That's unfortunate.
I know.
What did you... Sorry, I'm going to wait. You finish telling your tale.
Well, and one of the other things in the Shandong province that we went to visit was the Temple of Confucius, which was this very, very 180 from experiencing Beijing and the hustle and bustle and dirtiness and crowdedness of Beijing, which I know it's not everywhere there, but yeah. And the Temple
it's
of
a big
Confucius
city.
Grounds is huge and beautifully maintained and so peaceful and so green. And I don't remember the air being bad there. And it's not like it's not it's not on a coast. It's in Chufu.
And just how far is that then from Beijing? I myself don't really know the geography very well.
Okay, it's going to be a rough guess.
Because it's a huge country.
It was like 17 hours by train.
How did you guys do all this in 10 days?
Yeah, I know. That's why my friends were a little bit exhausted and a little bit perturbed with how much I packed in. But they were thankful in the long run.
I would have left you at that beer amusement park.
They did opt out of staying with my friend's family, and they stayed at a Crown Plaza Hotel in Qingdao. I was like, I don't fault you.
Yeah. Sometimes you just get tired.
Yeah. So anyone who, you know, wants to travel with me has to say if the list is suggestions or if we're trying to do it all.
If you're really going to do it. I'm going to keep that in mind because who knows, Bonnie, we might travel together someday. You never know.
That would be fun.
I know it would be.
We've just talked of travels together.
I know.
We get it almost every night, and when that moon gets big and bright, it's supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight. Everybody here is out of sight. They don't bark and they don't bite. They keep things loose, they keep things alive. Every border was dancing in the moonlight.
Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. We like a
phone. Bonnie, I have many questions, but I have one final question for you. Having spent so much time there, tell me what was your biggest obstacle of the cultural difference between the Chinese and the Americans at that time when you were there that you found?
The biggest obstacle.
That you personally had to overcome.
The spitting.
Adam talks about that.
Oh, gosh. I still remember the first time I went to church. And I don't go to church regular anymore. But there's just this, they work up that spit and that sound. And, I mean, they're spitting on a church floor. And it doesn't matter. They're spitting in a restaurant. It doesn't matter. You know, one of the weird blessings of SARS, and that is so wrong to put it that way, but bear with me, was they banned spitting.
Hmm.
Now, when SARS was resolved, what have you, it went back to normal, but it was like, oh my gosh, that was so nice.
Were you there when SARS happened? Oh, you were. Okay,
yeah.
So you actually saw that transition.
Oh, yeah. I was there. Our break was canceled. My visa to Korea never mounted to anything.
Well, Bonnie, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your tales. I imagine that you have a lot more for 2 years that you spent there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
All kinds of experiences.
Bonnie, thank you. And I am going to go into my own story for today. And I would like to say that this show is dedicated to my Aunt Joanne. Okay. The sun came through the chilled glass of winter. Thin layers of ice form on the windows in their snowflake-like design. I have felt the chill from windows like those for much of my life. In this instance, from beyond the sheets of misty windows, Rock Island, Illinois. I could see the flatlands of the rural roads with ground covered. The remaining plants and trees that are there are begging for their lives. Indoors, the heat is pumped at a ferocious rate that makes you nauseous with the unnatural air that forms around you. It must be about 90 degrees. I'm inside of a hospital which specializes in stroke victims. I'm here to visit my Aunt Joanne, who is safe from the elements but ravaged from one's own natural malady. I was asked to join the circle of song with other patients and a young woman who played a guitar. Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage, but you'll look sweet upon a seat of a bicycle built for two. I'd thought how sweet she seemed singing this song and hoped it had been sung to her by someone during her life. My eyes frequently went around the small circle of people here, and I wondered how they got here and when, if ever, could any of them leave. The pretty young woman smiled at them, at me, and packed up her instrument. I wheeled my aunt back to her room and waited for a nurse to get her back in bed. I walked through the hall and down to the cafeteria. I was hoping for a bar, but of course there wasn't one. So instead I sat down to a plate of macaroni and cheese packed with potato chips on top and pulled from my purse an airplane bottle of amaretto. Perhaps not the best pair-up, but it was all that I had. When I was a small person, I spent a lot of time at my grandma's house, and Joanne would come to spend time with her, and we became close. She had a modern farmhouse built into the side of a hill, a beautiful garden, a loving husband, always an Australian shepherd, often named Misty One or Misty Two. And she could be heard singing Patsy Cline or Hank Williams loudly through the house at night, making Manhattans with her husband, Henry. She knew how to live and be comfortable. Her husband was a stout, round man, gentle, full of vibrance, had been in World War II, which would ultimately end his life prematurely from an accident there. She and I remained close for all of my life. We went on many trips together. She came to see me wherever I was living, and that wasn't always easy for her, but she did it. And I would continue to go back to the Quad Cities every time I was in Illinois. Trips to the Hy-Vee grocery store for Coors Light, her beer of choice, or the Eagles Club, or the VFW Hall for cheap wine out of a twist-off bottle. Long drives through back rural roads with corn stalks waving high in the sky. Visits back to small towns of our ancestors where I would hear tales of Uncle Wilbur and Aunt Grace and the lives of coal miners. I watched my great Aunt Grace kill a chicken with an axe in her bare hands. This was life on the farm. But Joanne had gotten a good job with Sears and Roebuck Company and worked for them and lived well. She was no longer going to kill a chicken with her bare hands. She was, however, proud of her history. When she was young, she had shown beautiful prized horses at contests. She had pictures of herself framed around her house with ribbons and a big smile atop a glistening filly or a mare. It was hard to see this vibrant woman so still in a wheelchair. She'd come to Seattle for her 80th birthday, and we all went up to Mount Rainier, spent the day walking and looking for the birds, the camp robbers. These creatures will fly and land on your outstretched hand looking for food. But for us, it was all about taking family photos with them. I have one with Joanne standing tall with her arms wide open and a camp robber on her hand. It really says who she is. It was shortly after that she had her stroke. She would lay in a bed in a nursing home for 8 years after that. 2 days ago, she was set free from this earthly form. And in the spring, I will plant her favorite flowers in her honor, and I will look into the sky for a camp robber, as it might just be her.
Out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I walk for miles along the highway. Well, that's just my way of saying I love you. I'm always walking to see a weeping willow crying on his pillow. Maybe he's crying for me. And as the skies turn gloomy, night winds whisper to me, I'm lonesome as I can be. I go out walking after midnight.